This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una, unfa'na bima allamtana, wa zidna ilman ya arhamar rahimin. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us what benefit us from what He taught us and increase us in knowledge. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in this gathering inshaAllah and make us from the people at the end of the gathering they will be told قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ قَدْ بُدِّلَتْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ حَسَنَتْ. Washing the deceased after they pass away is fard kifaya. What does fard kifaya mean? It means if some Muslims have done it, the wajib will drop from the others. Okay? So it is a requirement on at least few Muslims to perform this, and they represent the community in this act of ibadah by itself. There are reports from the Sunnah that showed us how to perform the washing of the body, and the most famous of these reports is the report of when Rasulullah ﷺ informed how to wash his daughter Zainab. The hadith of Zainab details the process of washing the body. So inshallah ta'ala, order not to waste any time, we're going to do a demonstration and try to the best of our ability to show how it's done in the proper way. And please look carefully, because sometimes, alhamdulillah, we have brother Ghazi that is responsible for all this stuff, but sometimes he might get stuck, or we need somebody to wash the body, and many people do not know how to do it. I know we used to have the problem in New York all the time. Until alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we had 4 or 5 volunteers that are ready all the time, whether it's brothers or sisters, especially if we are opening a place for that in our facility, we should know how it's done, inshallah. So anybody who has learned will come and participate in this noble form of ibadah, inshallah. So the brother who decided to volunteer is brother Abu Yusuf. Hopefully the table will be able to carry him, inshallah. I'm going to try to sleep on here. Hopefully. Come forward, inshallah. Okay, Yusuf, give me that green. Yeah, okay. There are a few things that we need before we wash the body. I just brought a couple of things. You need to have some gloves, inshallah. I'm not going to put them on because it's going to make me... So you need gloves, and you need an apron, disposable apron. Apron that when you finish, just like the gloves, you throw them away, and you throw that apron away. And you need a few pieces of cloth, and you'll know why. And you will need... Inshallah, the facility will be more up to date and has its own hose and everything. But you could have a couple of buckets. One will have water and cedar. You know what cedar is? The lotus leaves. And that is just to get the foam of it, and we will discuss, inshallah. And another one, which will be the last one to use, is water with kafur. And the kafur is just to make a good smell of the body. That will be the last wash. And then something to wash. Now we're using this, but if you have a hose, it will make life much, much easier and quicker and cleaner, because you'll have a lot of water coming on the body. So the first thing we do, if the body came to us with the clothing is already in, and if I miss something, Sheikh, remind me, because you do this every single day. If the body come with the clothes on, the first thing you do is obviously you take the clothes off. If you could take it off easily, then go ahead. If not, you can just go ahead and drip it. But before you do that, you got the awra has to be covered. Subhanallah, our deen respect the Muslim dead or alive. The awra, not the whole body, it's just the awra. The awra of the man, we all know, it is from the belly button to the knees. This has to be covered. You take off all the clothes. Now you have all the clothes out. And now you have the body and you start the process. If you look and you see the nails of the toes or the fingers are very long, then it is recommended to clip the nails. The ulama differed, some said no, but it is, if it's very long, it is recommended to cut them. And you look also, if there is a lot of hair under the arm, the armpit, you shave the hair. You don't come to the hair here, you don't come to that, that is not a place to clean up at this time. You leave it as it is. This awra is very sacred here. You do not come close to it, but we will see how we do it in a way that will be respectful to the mayyit. If the mustache has to be trimmed, also you could trim the mustache. And another thing is, sometimes the body has been maybe in a freezer maybe for a day or two. So the limbs became very hard, right? So in that case, just move the limbs a little bit, just to be able for you to make the process of washing easy. You do the same for the legs. You just move them a little bit, back and forth, just to make it easy for you to perform the ghusl. Now, the person who's washing has to be knowledgeable about the sunnah of washing. Don't just bring anybody. And to be honest with you, I would recommend that you assign someone before, like now, you tell somebody, please, if I die, if you can know how to wash me, go ahead and wash me. So you know at least someone who's washing you, who's doing it, and you tried and you struggled all your life to live according to the sunnah, try also to die according to the sunnah also, inshallah. To be buried according to the sunnah. To be washed according to the sunnah. So the person has to be knowledgeable about the process. Plus, there's a very important condition for that person. He has to keep the secrets. For example, sometimes the face changes. The person is normally a white person. All of a sudden, his face becomes complete black. Usually, from our experience, it's not a good sign. So you don't, the person who's washing, he does not go outside, oh, you should see the face, it was ugly and the smell was stinking. No. He has to keep whatever happened inside, has to keep it inside. What about if he sees something good, should he tell about it? If he sees something good, yes. We heard about our elderly many times that the room was full with musk, subhanAllah. The whole room was smelling musk, you know. That is something that you go, so people could make dua and love that person and increase their dua to him or to her, inshallah. So the person has to be really a person of respect and to honor the body that he's washing and do not disclose any secrets. Then there's no need to have so many people in the washing area. The washing areas usually are not that spacious, but anyway, 3-4 people is more than enough. 3-4 people is more than enough, and you will know why, because one by himself, it is very hard. 2 can be done, 3 is perfect. More than that, it will become too crowded in the area. There are no There's nothing authentic about some people go and with everybody they do, they start making dua, and okay, dua of the, may Allah give you the book in your right hand, may Allah, when they wash the face, may Allah make your face white. There's nothing like that in the sunnah. You're just washing the body quietly and trying to do as much to closer to the sunnah as possible. Now, with the help of somebody, now we have, alhamdulillah, our body here is moving. Usually the body does not move. So you lift him up like this in this position, and gently you press with your arm on the abdomen here, on the belly, just in case there are any kind of leftover excess remains in the body, it will fall. Usually the table under has holes under it, so whatever is coming out will go down, and it's done in a way, there's a drainage, and it's a very clean facility usually. So you press gently to make sure that all the left, wind, anything in the body will go, because you want to clean all the najasa from the body before you wash it, okay? So you press gently, and if there's anything, it will come out. Now, here comes the washcloth. Keep in mind that you're wearing gloves, right? And with the gloves, you have this between your hand and the private part of the person. You're gonna come under this here, and you're gonna go and clean up the front and the back if there's any leftovers that came out when you pressed. You clean it up, whatever it takes, 1, 2, 3, and you throw them somewhere. You have a place that you throw them if you want to wash them, or disposable stuff, you just throw them away, okay? You make sure all that area is clean from any najasa. Is this clear so far? Okay. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, he said, first you start by cleaning the places of wudu. So you actually perform regular wudu. You perform regular wudu to the person. Of course, he cannot, so you do it yourself, starting with the hands, 3 times, the both hands, and then you do the, now, when it comes to the mouth, you don't come and open your mouth and put mouth in the water in the mouth, you just wet your finger, and then in the mouth, you just go with your finger around the mouth, similarly in the nose. That's it. You don't put water in that area, even though it is part of the wudu, but this is how you do it. Because any water you put inside is going to come out immediately, because there's nothing is going to stop. It's going to go down and come out, and it will later ruin the shroud, the kafan. So you finish the hands, the mouth, the nose, you wash the face completely. And there's somebody with you, for example, Yusuf, come stand up. Okay, you keep pouring water and helping the brother, you know, so you wash the face, and then you come here to the right hand. This is the right. So you wash the right hand as if just you're making the right arm, you're making wudu. Similarly, you do the left 3 times, and then, you don't have to, just to wipe the hair, the ears, and then you come and you do the right foot 3 times, and the left foot 3 times. Now the wudu is done. After the wudu is done, now you have to do the ghusl, the washing of the complete body. You start from the right side. Please, if there's anything, stop me, because I really want you to learn, you know. We always have lack of people who know how to perform the ghusl. It's very, very simple. The first, you just get rid of the najasa, perform wudu, ghusl right side first, left side first, done. But there is some details, and that's what we are discussing, inshallah. So now, you are washing the right side. Keep in mind, when there's a hose, it's easier. It will bring a lot of water and make sure, because sometimes you have blood on the body. You know, sometimes we always think, oh, it's just a dead body. No, keep in mind that sometimes there are blood that's stuck in the body and needs really good rubbing. So that sidr that Rasulullah ﷺ said, wash your dead with the water and sidr. That sidr, subhanAllah, the lotus, it has so many benefits in it. Number one, it seals the wounds. Allahu Akbar. It gives some kind of antibacteria to the whole body. And it's prescribed by Rasulullah for a reason. It gives antibacteria, it seals the wounds. And if there is any kind of blood sticking, it will remove it. Very strong. You use, when you get the sidr, and it's available, you know, when you go to those Indian stores or Arab stores, they have them. You put it in here and you mix it. What you need from that is the foam. Okay? You get the foam. Now, let's go first with the washing the body. So you wash the whole right side, the whole right side of the body. And then, with the help of someone, you come and you turn the body this way and you wash this side, all of it. So you're doing all the right side first, okay? Back and forth, and then you turn them this way, you do the left side, and then you turn them this way, and you do the left side from the back. Now, how many times we do that? It has to be an odd number. If you do three times, if you do three times, and you feel that the body is still dirty, do you do four or five? Five. If it's still dirty, you do seven. So you keep doing it in an odd number until the body is completely clean. And this is with the sidr. With the if there's no sidr, you could use anything soapy. But sidr is preferred if you want to follow the sunnah. So you do that, and the foam of the sidr, you do the hair. You do the hair with the foam. You do the hair, and there's a beard also. You do that with the foam of the sidr. You rub it properly. Now, you finished this, let's say once, twice, three times, and three times was clean, khalas, you're done. The third time, okay, or when you, for example, when you're doing the second time, if you notice it's clean, then the third time has to be done with kafur. So always the last time has to be done with kafur. What is kafur? Kafur is a form of... it gives a beautiful scent to the body. It gives a really beautiful scent to the body. Subhanallah, how our deen covered everything. And as a matter of fact, I saw some people, while they're performing the ghusl, they have some bakhur. It's not from the sunnah, but it's only just to keep the environment smelling good. And if there's any smell came out from the person, people will not think it's, you know, that smell of the bakhur will dominate over the smell of the, from the person, and they will not notice anything. So the sitr, covering, subhanAllah, our sins of our brother, alive or dead, is one of the main beautiful things in our deen. To always cover our brother, even if there might be some smell, just cover it with something else, so you will not say anything evil about them, subhanAllah. So, you wash the last time you wash with the kafur, and that will give a beautiful smell to the body. Now, some people you will see them stuffing the nose with cotton, or the mouth with cotton. This is nothing from the sunnah. The only time you can stuff put some cotton is from the back passage, in case after you kept on cleaning and kept on discreting and kept on bringing waste down, this is the only time you put something in order to stop, and it will not ruin the shroud, the kafan. But other than that, there's nothing about stuffing the face and all that with all those cotton pieces. Okay. And now, do we dry the body? Some ulama said yes, some said no, just leave it by itself, it will dry by itself. And anyway, you're going to wait for a few minutes, and then you're going to put the shroud on it, and then inshallah ta'ala that will take care of the water. Now, all the time, while the process is going, this does not move. Now, this have now become extremely wet. So before the kafan, you bring another one, and someone will take this from the bottom, and you put another dry one, because now you are working on the kafan. And inshallah ta'ala, that will be our next week. We'll do how to do the shrouding, inshallah ta'ala. That's it. Did I forget anything, Sheikh? Not really. Did I forget anything? Subhanallah. You see, this is why the experience needed. So sometimes, like the brother said, when they come from the hospital, there are some sticky parts from the, maybe all the tubes and all that stuff stuck to them. So you have to rub properly, and you will notice it maybe after the second or the third wash, right? So So that's why you keep washing to make sure the whole body is clean, inshallah. Any questions? If you have lenses, you take them out. If you know how to take them out, it's easier without harming the body. Go ahead. If there's any ring, you take it out. Anything that you just leave the body just like it was born. You know, the way came to this dunya, that's the way we it leaves the dunya also. When you have braces, what happens? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. So you have gloves with your hands and plenty of water, either with a hose right here, okay? You're putting the hose right here and making all the water come through because you pressed already, right here. You pressed first and then you put the water. Now, after the pressing, all the discretes inside have came out already. You don't press too hard because you have to respect the body. I keep repeating the word. So everything came out. So you do the water, when you put the water, you lift this up and with your arm and this in your... And this is a ha'il. This is a barrier between your hand and the private part. And then you clean back and forth. You clean as much as you can. Of course, it's going to be very dirty. You turn them up. Yes. And keep in mind, like I told you, the table that is specifically made for the deceased for washing, it has holes in it. Okay? So that will make it easier for the process also, inshallah. Now. Do we? I can't hear you. Do you read anything? No. There's nothing to read, inshallah. If you make dua for the brother, may Allah forgive him, alhamdulillah, but there's nothing specific to be read in the process of washing. We're going to discuss, by the way, the person, does he have to make wudu after? All that stuff is coming up. Who washes who? Can the husband wash the wife? And all that will be after. I just want to finish this process only, and then all that stuff we'll discuss. It will take us 10 minutes, inshallah. Those stuff, you could come and cover. Come here. No, it's good to know about that. I'm not familiar with this 100% burn, what happens. Come. You wash your hand? On the body bag? Okay. So it comes with a bag. The body comes in a bag, and then you wash the body from the outside? La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. Just over the bag. So the brother was saying, just in order for the video, to the people watching, so the brother said, in case you got a body and it is completely destroyed or the body parts are burned completely, and they come usually in a bag. So you do the same process on top of the bag because you cannot actually wash the body parts. So that's when, inshallah ta'ala, jazakallah khair for bringing that up, inshallah. So I will finish by discussing jazakallah khair for our volunteer, and we give a piece of chocolate for the dead body. So who washes who? Very common question is, can the husband wash the wife? And the answer is yes. Can the husband wash the wife? Usually, let's do it this way. Men wash men, and women wash women. The only case a man will wash a woman if it's his wife. And the only case a woman will wash a man if it's her husband, if he is her husband. Other than that, women are not supposed to wash men, and men are not supposed to wash women. Now, children cannot wash. Let me just go one by one. Washing a spouse. It is permissible for a woman to wash her dead husband, as expressed by Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that I would have loved to wash Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one time, Aisha reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from a funeral in the Baqi'a to find her suffering from a headache. And he told her, and saying, Aisha was saying, "Oh, my head." She is complaining of a headache. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bal ana wa ra'sah." She was saying, "Wa ra'sah, oh my head." "Bal ana wa ra'sah, ma darraki law mitti qabli, faghassaltuki wa kaffantuki, thumma sallaytu alayki wa dafantuki." Rather, it is my head that is aching. What would hurt you if you die before me and I wash you? Here, where comes the dalil that you're allowed to wash your wife. And I wash you, shroud you, and then pray janazah for you and bury you. Now, in case if someone died in a state of ihram, if a person died in a state of ihram, Rasulullah ﷺ said, wash him with water and the lotus and do not perfume him. That's the only, because the ihram, we all know, when you have ihram, you do not put perfume. Even when he died, do not perfume him, subhanallah. Because another hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ told us that whomsoever die making talbiya will be resurrected making talbiya. Allahu Akbar. He dies saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, he will be resurrected doing the same. The martyrs, the shuhada, the Muslims who are killed in the battlefield are given the treatment of martyrs in terms of washing, shrouding, and janazah prayer and burial. This does not impose that they are truly died, unless there are martyrs who died, like we consider martyr who died, a person who dies in a drowning and burn or a wall fall on him. These are different than the martyr who died in the battlefield. Okay, because the person who died in the battlefield, he has a special case. Those who die in the battlefield should not be washed. The one who died in the battlefield should not be washed. We all know how the Sahaba, they were not washed. Even if they were junub. Even if they were junub. Jabir, radiallahu anhu, reported that Rasulullah ﷺ did not wash the martyrs on the day of Uhud. He did not wash them. Ana shaheed ala haula. I am their witness. Wrap and bury them in their blood. No person is wounded for Allah's cause, but will come on the day of resurrection with his wound fresh, having the color of blood and the smell of musk. لا تغسلوهم فإن كل جرح يفوح مسكا يوم القيامة. What is the reward of washing? This was, I should have started with this to encourage you, inshallah. But we left it to the end. من غسل مسلما فكتم عليه. Very important. Let me go straight because of the time. Let me go straight to the English. He who washes a Muslim and conceals what he have seen, whether it's appearance or bad smell, Allah grant him forgiveness 40 times, or another narration of 40 major sins. You know that we only quote a hadith that are authentic. Huh? Allah will grant him غفر الله له 40 مرة أو كبيرة. And he who digs a grave and buries him would be granted a reward similar to providing for him a dwelling until the day of resurrection. من حفر حفرة له فأجنه أجري عليه كأجر مسكن أسكنه إياه إلى يوم القيامة. وَمَنْ كَفَّنَهُ. And the one who shrouds him, Allah will clothe him on the day of resurrection from the silk garments of Jannah. So subhanAllah, there's a huge reward for washing the body. A lot of people, you know, they stay away from it. If you have you don't feel good doing it, or you feel you might faint, that's a different story. But to stay away from doing it without any reason, you're losing a lot of reward. So inshallah ta'ala, if you are invited, if you were asked, rush to go ahead and do it. Another hadith, من غسل ميتا فستره ستره الله من الذنوب ومن كفنه كساه الله من السندس. Whoever washes a deceased Muslim, and of course we're talking about brothers, but this also applies to the sisters when they are washing, inshallah. Whoever washes a deceased Muslim and covers him, Allah will cover his sins, and whoever shrouds him, Allah will give him silk garments in Jannah. من غسل ميتا فليغتسل ومن حمله فليتوضأ. Now, whosoever washes a dead body, let him take a bath after. Is it a must? No. It is highly recommended. It's not a must. يعني you're not sinful if you did not do it, but it is highly recommended to make ghusl if you have washed the body. Now, if you carried the body, not the box, if you carried the body to the grave, like for example in New York, when I was there like a few weeks ago, in New York you're not allowed to take the body like here. You have to put the whole thing, the box, inside the cement and then cover the cement. Here you could take the body, right? I saw them take the body by itself, like the original Shari'i way that we do it. If you touch the body, you brought the body down to the grave, actual grave, then it is recommended that you make wudu after. Okay? It is recommended that you make wudu after. Ghusl for washing, wudu for carrying the body. Okay? Ghusl, if you wash the body, من غسل ميتا فليغتسل ومن حمله فليتوضأ. ومن حمله فليتوضأ. And whosoever carry him, let him make wudu. No, you don't have to be in a state of wudu. So, quickly, a summary. Who performs the washing? Men, Muslim men or their wives. For women, Muslim women or their husband. Who leads the washing process? The washing should be supervised by a person knowledgeable of the sunnah. Who may not be washed? One who's killed in the battlefield. Who to wash? What to wash? The entire body. What is the washing sequence? One should start with the head, the right side, hands, then feet, and then left side, hands, then feet, and then the rest of the body. Should the clothes be removed? All clothes must be removed, but the body should remain, the awrah should be covered at all time. What is the number of washes? The entire body should be washed an odd number of times, 3 more or as needed. What cleaning material should be used? On one or more of the washes, lotus leaves, the sidr we spoke about, or if it's not there, soap should be added to the water. Should the body be scrubbed? With the body under the cover, it should be scrubbed with a piece of cloth or a sponge, just like we have seen. How is the hair washed? All, if their hair are, this one, in case the hair is braided, it should be undone. If the hair is braided, maybe you're doing some sister are doing a sister, and her head is all braided. The hair, the braids should be all undone, and the entire hair should be washed. And if it's long, it should be combed. How to arrange long hair for washing? It should be divided into 3 plates. When to put the perfume on the final wash? A scented perfume, preferably kafur, should be added to the water. Who may not be perfumed? Only the people who died in ihram. What is the reward of washing the body? Forgiveness of 40 sins. What are the conditions for deserving the reward? Sincerity and hiding what you have seen. Should one take a bath? It is recommended. Okay. Now, then the Shaykh mentioned a few of the things that people do that are not, they are bid'ah, which is like, you know, they are start making dhikr in congregation inside all together, la ilaha illallah and all that during the washing. There's nothing like that. And like we said, the stuffing of the throat and the nose and all these things. And that should be, inshallah ta'ala, the washing process. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept us alive, next week we'll do the shrouding. Now, yes, keep in mind it's a sister that is washing a sister, and she will cover from the here, from the chest all the way down to under the knees. She will cover from that all the way to under the knees, and she will do the same exact thing. Okay? Are you allowed to put a tombstone? OK, Okay, this is not the topic, but yes, you're allowed, and it should have the name only in order for identification. All these things that we see, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and all that stuff has nothing to do with the deen. As a matter of fact, you're writing the name of Allah on the ground, and people stepping on it, and stepping on the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and stepping on the ayat of the Quran. This is all not allowed in Islam. You just put the name in case you want to visit your father, your uncle, your son in the future. You know where they are for identification only. That's the only reason we do that. Okay. Naam, Adam. Okay, so Brother Adam is asking, if a woman died and there are no women to wash her, and no husband also? Wow. Okay, so what do we do in this case? Who's going to wash this woman? It's really very odd not to have any Muslim woman and no husband and no... If there she has some Muslim woman relatives, they should wash her. Not to have any Muslim woman at all, it's very, very rare. But in case, then we'll try, we go to the extreme by having a non-Muslim woman. But we'll never ask for a man to wash a dead woman. And vice versa also applies. جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.